Hey guys, welcome to WWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
So on tonight's show, we have a lot of news to cover, but we're also going to talk about the Bad Batch and what we think so far. I think this is episode 5. Think? Around there. Anyway.
I think we'll it's 5, it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 5. All right, let's jump right into the news. So the big thing that is happening this week, it's actually on June 4th, is Avengers Campus is opening in Disneyland or Disney California Adventure in Disneyland. So I'd sent Jack a video for him to take a look at it and see what he thought about it. And I think you got the crust of it, like, you know, what you saw. So what do you think?
Well, I got up to the part where they started talking about the new Spider-Man ride. Web University or something like that.
Called Web Slingers.
Web Slingers. I'm surprised it hasn't happened already, that it's just coming out now, but it should be fun. I mean, let's face it. Kids are gonna have been watching these Marvel MCU movies, and the fact now they get to go and take pictures with their superheroes and see different sites similar to like Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Like, instead of seeing the Millennium Falcon, they have a Quinjet. I mean, it looks cool from what I saw of it, and it should be fun.
Yeah, so I had watched more of it, and my personal opinion of it is it looks good, but kind of like Galaxy's Edge, it doesn't feel like Star Wars to me, and this doesn't really feel like Marvel to me. And there's some parts of the MCU that doesn't feel like Marvel to me too, but it's hard to replicate Marvel, especially like the Marvel, the comics. It's like, what are you going to do? Like, cause Marvel basically is New York City, you know,
right,
for the most part. So, you know, like with Galaxy's Edge, at least you have the Millennium Falcon. I mean, and that's iconic. Quinjet, not as iconic. I mean, it's cool and everything, but that's the center focus of like the whole land. It's kind of sad.
I don't think it's as much of a centerpiece as the Falcon, but it's to give it some nice scenery. Let's face it, the centerpiece of this park is going to be the characters. You know, people are going to want to take pictures with Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man and the Wasp, the Black Panther. Even though Black Panther was a little bit of a skinny guy, they need to get somebody a little bit bigger in the video. But I mean, that's the centerpiece of it. Yes, we'll have some rides, but kids are just going to love the characters walking around. And I hope they do that more than just like a, what do you call it? The photo stops.
Yeah, photo op.
Photo ops. I hope they have the characters walking around and interacting with the kids a bit. That would be a lot more fun. I mean, that's what I enjoyed back in the day when we were at Universal Studios and their Marvel Land. You know, you didn't have photo op locations. You were there and you'd see Captain America walking down the street and Dr. Doom, who choked me at the time, you know.
Yeah, I remember that.
But that's the fun of it. If they bring it to Orlando, like you were saying, to give it the New York atmosphere. I mean, I would have loved it if they had that lead off of the New York land in
that's
Disney
gone
Studios.
Now.
That's gone now?
Well, that's where Galaxy's Edge is now.
Really? I thought Galaxy's Edge was in a different section, like further back.
No.
No. Oh, I like the old New York streets, but that would be the perfect setting for the entrance into Marvel Land. And just have some of the characters stroll in the streets and, I don't know, maybe set up a zip line for Spider-Man or something, you know. But it looks like it could be fun.
The one thing, and I agree with you, that impressed me the most was the characters. Getting to see all those characters on the screen, not at once, but that there are so many of them. Because, mm-hmm. like, from time to time, you would see some characters in Disneyland because that's the problem. We can't have them in Orlando at Disney World because of Universal Studios still owns the rights to all the Marvel characters at
Islands of Adventure. How long does that go for?
I think that they have it until they decide to sell it to Disney.
Really? Oh, wow.
But it's basically that the line is separated between, I think, the Mississippi or something like that. So they can still do it in Disneyland, but they can't do it in Disney World. But I think that this is also might be the death of the Marvel characters at Islands of Adventure. Because again, the Marvel characters in Islands of Adventure, they're the old Marvel characters. You know, they're not the MCU characters. They're like the very classic Thor costume, you know, with the super long hair, no beard, mustache, or anything like that. You can't have that, you know, with the helmet and the wings. So there's no changing of those characters. It's like what they you see there, what we saw back in, I think, 97 or 98, that's what they are right now. You know, they're not going to change them. And I think that people are going to be like, well, this is a watered down Marvel place and Disney's got the good stuff, you know? So I think Marvel or Universal is eventually going to say, you know what, let's just get rid of it. Plus they need real estate. They don't have that much real estate in Islands of Adventure. And if they're going to build some more stuff, like, I don't know, they can expand still with Harry Potter, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, whatever the hell it's called, or Fast and Furious, or King Kong versus Godzilla, or whatever the hell they want to do. You know, I'm sure there's definitely stuff that they would like to do. They could do friggin' DC characters. You know, I think that would be awesome, is if they had, like, you know, DC, you know, like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, but, well, absolutely. It's just, I don't know how much of a deal they have with Warner Brothers. They have to if they have Harry Potter.
Yeah, they have some sort of deal with
you know, Warner Brothers. It shouldn't be too hard for them to cut a deal for DC.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, those characters look pretty cool. They look spot on accurate to like Captain America. Iron Man's kind of tough because it's like, he looks okay, but his suit needs to be bigger, thicker, and stuff like that.
Actually, I thought Iron Man looked a little better. Ant-Man and the Wasp, the costumes look good, but they looked a little off. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was people in them. The same thing, the Captain Marvel costume looked very good, but...
She looked good. I liked her.
I don't know. I didn't think... It looked like... you know how all the Disney princesses have wigs? Looked like she had a bad wig. I don't know.
The guy who was Doctor
Strange, the Doctor Strange costume looked really good.
Yeah.
So he did the Spider-Man. Spider-Man looks good because, you know, it's hard to believe, but yeah, Spider-Man can be screwed up.
Yeah, it's funny because Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Black Panther, I think Black Panther, I could be wrong, are allowed in Disney World, because I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy in Disney World and I've seen Doctor Strange there too. Maybe not Black Panther. I forget how that is, like with the Fantastic Four and all that stuff. But anyway.
Well, Universal has the FF, because remember they had that, what was it, the Fantastic Cafe or something like that? So they had a Fantastic Four themed restaurant. Yeah. You know.
So I'm not sure how that works, but I've definitely seen Guardians and I've seen Doctor Strange had a little thing going on when his movie premiered and stuff like that, a little stage show, which was, I thought it was kind of cool. He was doing magic tricks and fog and mist and stuff like that. Yeah. Now he's got something Strange. There.
Any card.
Did you see in the video that he's got an ancient sanctum, which is like the Sanctum Sanctorum, like you basically go for a tour in there and he does his magic tricks.
I saw the doors opening, but I didn't see inside of it. I didn't get that far into it.
Yeah, it's nothing special. I mean, that's the one thing I got to say would kind of upset me with it is that the rides don't really look that good. Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout's been there for a while. And that's basically the Tower of Terror that we have in.
Did they convert Orlando over yet?
No. I mean, people are going to flip out if they ever do because they love the Tower of Terror. I'm not a fan because I just can't go up on that thing. It would scare the hell out of me. I'd probably die in the process.
I like Tower of Terror. But...
Yeah, I'm just not a Tower of Terror guy, but so I'll never go on that one, Mission Breakout. So, and then that Spider-Man ride, the Web Slinger ones, that looks like crap to me.
It looks like the Buzz Lightyear ride.
It does, yeah. It looks
where
like
you're going around, you're shooting all the little things. That's what that looks.
Yeah,
like.
No, yeah, it looks like Toy Story Midway Mania. That's what I thought too. It's like, is there points associated with this? But yeah, you have 3D glasses and you're shooting webs like with your hands.
They must have some sort of screen that detects motion.
Yeah.
When you move your hands, because supposedly you're going to be going like thwip, thwip, you know, and it'll be registering and you'll see it on your screen, through these glasses. So who knows? I mean, it would be cool to look. I don't know if I would take a trip to California just to go there. If we had a choice between Disneyland and Disney World, I'd rather go Disney World. But if I was in California, I'd definitely check it out.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd definitely check it out. Another thing that they had there was the PIM Test Kitchen, which is where, I guess, their restaurant that people can go to. And
it's super expensive, so you get big plates with little food.
No, like they'll have like a giant soda can and... You know, basically that's where you get your soda. You'll see the soda coming and then it gets smaller into like a small dispenser. And then, you know, it's like all like these giant things. And like they have a giant chicken sandwich with a small bun. To me, like I've said time and time again, Ant-Man is just not fun. He's like one of the lamest superheroes out there. I just haven't been a fan. I like his movie, but I think it's because of Paul Rudd. I think he did a good job of bringing the comedy to Ant-Man.
Well, it's also, I mean, they have Paul Rudd paired with Michael Douglas, who's being a curmudgeon the whole time. So it's kind of fun to watch that interaction.
Yeah, I mean, and I like Wasp. I mean, I think I like her more than Ant-Man.
Probably she's pretty cool, though. You've got the funny guy, you've got the cranky guy, and she's like the straight man. You know, she's always serious, pretty much down to business versus the other two that are bickering the whole time. It's a good dynamic between them. And Michael Peña is just a riot. I hope he's back in the third one.
But I'll say, like, for me, you know, again, this test kitchen and everything, food is what I care less about. Galaxy's Edge, well, you know me, I don't eat anything. I'll have hamburgers, I'll have pizza, I'll have steak, I'll have chicken. That's it. No vegetables. I got to go to a place like Galaxy's Edge. It's a nightmare. There's nothing in there that I like. And it's the same thing, I think, with this PIM kitchen, whatever it is. It's like all these experimental food. Like there's some chicken, there's some beef, there's a big meatball surrounded by small meatballs. Although that does look good because it's got pasta in it. I'd probably have that. There's a shawarma place.
You got to give it a try and look at it. No matter how you fry it, it's still a chicken nugget.
Yeah.
And that's what the kids will go for.
Yeah. And there's merchandise stores. There's plenty of merchandise stores there. So what you missed is that they had the opening night the other day. And so the CEO of Disney, Bob Chapek, you had, what's his name? Kevin Feige, Paul Rudd showed up, John Favreau had showed up, you know, and they all made guest appearances at Avengers Campus. And then Anthony Mackie shows up and he brings the shield and he hands it over to Sam Wilson's Captain America. And you know what, man, I tell you, I feel like how Sam Wilson felt when John Walker got the shield, because Kevin Feige says, now I want to introduce you to the real Captain America. And meanwhile, Steve Rogers' Captain America is, I think, next to Black Widow. And I'm like, shouldn't that go to him if he's still alive?
You have him in the park. He's standing right there.
I just hate this. I don't know. This thing is going to go on for a long time. He is going to be Captain America, I would say, for a good 10 years.
No, I wouldn't say that long.
I don't know. I think that they're just pushing it. I don't like him as Captain America. Again, like if they would have called him Captain Falcon, I'd be totally on board. you know, give him his own shield and everything, but don't say now he is Captain America. That guy over there, just ignore him. You know, and it's like, it's okay. Even if he's alive, this is the real Captain. This is your Captain America. Accept him.
Not
love him.
That guy.
Yeah. I'd still take a picture.
I would bet it's going to be Captain America 4 with Sam, and Captain America 5 is going to be something crazy where they'll bring back Steve Rogers or a different Steve Rogers in a recast or some crazy sort of thing.
Well,
it was crazy in the comics. I bet it's going to be crazy in the MCU as well.
I've been telling Dan for a while is that this is what's going to happen. It's going to be Secret Empire. They're basically, Steve Rogers is going to come back, but he's going to come back as evil and he's going to be the villain because they're copying the format that they use with the comics, you know, with Jane Foster, Thor, with Riri Williams, with Sam Wilson, Captain America. Am I missing anything else here? Whatever's on Disney Plus. Anyway, yeah. But as far as I get back to this, the one thing I specifically don't like about Avengers Campus is the name. Campus to me, when I think of campus, I think of school. And I would think a lot of kids would be turned off with that name, Campus, you know?
I mean, they had a really great series called Avengers Academy.
Well, whatever.
But I think they wanted to stay away from the word Academy due to the X-Men. Because once the X-Men comes out, you know they're going to have, like, the Xavier Academy somewhere.
Maybe. But I would have called it Marvel Land. Why don't they just keep things simple? Like, they did the same thing with Galaxy's Edge. Why don't you call it Star Wars Land? Toy Story Land. They call it Toy Story Land. It's just like so annoying. I still can't get used to the word Galaxy's Edge after what, like 2 years. They should just call it Star Wars Land. And I don't like that Spider-Man is basically a second banana in Avengers Campus. It seems to me like he's there, but he's like the kid. He's like his character in the MCU. He's like Miss Marvel, you know, like where he wants to be part of the team, but he's a kid and he's really not part of the team. It's,
well, because he's a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man was.
He may be on the Avengers after Infinity.
Spider-Man was bigger than that in the comics early in his career in the 60s. He was much bigger. He was up there with the Fantastic Four. I mean, you know.
Oh, in sales-wise, but in the comics, I mean, you know, he tried to join the Avengers. They didn't take him.
Yeah, but I still think he held
his own. Of course, they told him to go catch the Hulk.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, they're like, well, if you want to be Avengers, capture the Hulk and bring him back here to us. You know, and of course, he gets trashed by the Hulk.
Well, what the hell is that? If you want to be an Avenger, go capture the Hulk. It's like,
exactly. We don't feel like getting hurt. You go and do the job for us.
What is it, the Boy Scouts?
Or the Jedi Council? All of the entire separatist leadership is one spot. Let's send one guy to go capture the whole bunch. Come on.
But John Favreau, like, he came out and everything, and like he gave a little speech about making Iron Man. What I'm surprised is that they had Paul Rudd and they had Anthony Mackie. Those were the only people from Marvel that they had there. It's like they couldn't get Chris Evans. They couldn't get Robert Downey Jr. or Mark Ruffalo or Scarlett Johansson.
I'm surprised they didn't get her out there for a plug with Black Widow coming out soon.
Yeah. They had them all like in Zoom footage, you know, but they're basically, Disney's reopened now. It's like they could have taken a trip and just kind of christened it, especially after what Marvel did them. They made them millions, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. I mean, but who knows? It's a different world, a different life than we
but they had like a video of what's her name? Captain Marvel, Brie Larson. So she was visiting Avengers Campus. I want to call it Marvel's Campus. Why couldn't you call it Marvel Land? Visiting Avengers Campus, and she goes up to the Quinjet. She goes, so in the movie, I lifted this up. She kept saying I, which like annoys the hell out of me. She really thinks she's Captain Marvel, you know? She goes, I lifted this up. Now you can see what I lifted up.
You can see my handprints right there on it.
And then like she said some little thing like, well, I know what it's like to be in the Avengers. Now you will know what it's like to be in the Avengers. It's like, you're not Captain Marvel. You're an actress that plays Captain Marvel.
Video for kids.
What's that?
Maybe you're the wrong audience for
the video. It wasn't for kids. You know, it was like for everybody seeing like this whole schmeal of the opening day of Avengers Campus. All right, let's move on.
I think you take these like little promo videos.
Too much for heart, dude. Bleh. All right, so apparently the Black Cat movie is back on the menu with Sony. Apparently.
Well, you know what? The Black Cat could work because you could turn it into a heist movie with superheroes, sort of like Ant-Man. Both of those are heist movies with superheroes. The Black Cat could fit into that formula very well. I just don't know if there's enough of demand for the character for it to be a hit up there like all the Marvel solo movies, but who knows? Maybe you'd be surprised.
I'm going to be in trouble with that one. Well, they're looking at Felicity Jones, which I don't know. I think she's a little too short.
I think she's a little overrated.
Think so?
Yeah.
Well, I know like originally they were talking about Daisy Ridley. I don't know. I think she's done after Star Wars.
I don't know. I hope not. I like Daisy Ridley.
Have you seen her in anything?
I've seen of her in interviews and stuff.
No, she seems like a nice person.
She seems pretty cool.
I'm just saying, it's just, I don't think, you know, producers are banging at her door for roles and stuff like that. And I think she was a one-trick pony with Ray. She might have done a movie, but I'm sure it was very minor. Kind of like Daniel Radcliffe for Harry Potter.
Oh, no, he's been in plenty of stuff.
He's been in tons of movies, but they all suck.
Well, I mean, it's hard to come down from a mega franchise like Harry Potter, but he's been in a few things. He's been on TV. What is it? They have a show, Miracle Workers, that he's really funny on. He's really pretty good. But, maybe she's just the same thing. She's still in that Star Wars box, and it'll take a little while for her to get out. But I hope she does, because like I said, all the interviews and everything, she seems like a really cool person.
Oh, she does. She seems like a nice person. But I'm just saying, you never hear about her. You know, you don't hear about anybody with Star Wars. Like, well, except for, what's his name? Oscar Isaac. Yeah, he's doing Moon Knight. And he does a couple of movies every now and then.
John Boyega seems just to open his mouth and get in trouble. I don't know.
He's a hair below Ray Fisher for Star Wars, you know, complaining about what it was like on the set and stuff like that, which is always a bad thing if you want to be rehired by that company.
That's just it. You're digging your own grave, unless he's planning on Pacific Rim 3, which I enjoyed Pacific Rim 2. So
was it good? I never seen that one. I watched the Pacific Rim, The Black on Netflix. I really liked that. I thought that was really good.
Well, what's that? I didn't hear that.
It's an animated series.
Ah, okay. Well, of course, that would definitely, you know, giant robots, you know.
It was good. I really liked it. Animation
very well.
I was like looking, I went on to IMDb and like it's getting like all these negative ratings like from people, you know, viewers and stuff like that. It sucks. It's horrible. Oh my God. You know, and I'm like, is there something wrong with me? Why do I like these things that everybody hates? You know, I hate things that everybody likes. It's a bizarre world. That's what it is.
I don't know.
So getting back to the Black Cat, in the comics, apparently she might be changing her status, her sexual orientation. To coincide with the Gay Pride Month, which is June this month.
I don't know. She's always been very...
What? Promiscuous?
Not promiscuous, but extremely flirty. And I mean, let's face it, her and Peter Parker were a couple going hot and heavy for a while.
No, they were,
too. I mean, she's gotten a bit of a bump in the MCU because she tried to make herself into the next crime boss. So she had kind of the heel turn for a little while, but she's back being on the side of the angels, as I think she put it. So they've kind of, she's got her own series. It's going all right. But I still, like I said, I still don't see her as a movie property, but you know, it might work. But if anything, for changing her orientation for Pride Month, it seems like a stunt.
Well, yeah, that's exactly
stunt storyline, because you know, there's never been any inkling towards that with her before.
Well, this is a synopsis for Black Cat number 7. It says, Black Cat's actions over the last few years make her rethink who she is. The price of all things Felicia and the Black Fox have stolen is finally tallied and the bill is due. So have you read this? Like, who's Black Fox? Is she her partner?
The Black Fox, if I remember, he's an old, or maybe it's the Silver Fox. He's an older guy, an older cat thief, who every so often would turn, Spider-Man would come across him.
Oh yeah, I remember him.
Remember, he didn't have a very elaborate suit. He had like the black jumpsuit with the little towel, but you still saw like his mustache and his beard.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're related or not.
I thought they were, but
he was always kind of a goof character. He was never really taken seriously. He was always like the guy who, like, yeah, he's gotten in trouble again. And, you know, whatever he stole was supposed to go to the Kingpin, and the Kingpin wants it back. And, you know, always that kind of misadventure.
So getting back to the Black Cat. So my issue with, like you said, this should never be an event. This should just be part of the story. You know, if it is part of the story, it's like, say, like, Bruce Wayne gets a new girlfriend. That's not an event. That's just part of the story. And I think that that's where Marvel and sometimes DC gets it wrong, is that they make that part of the selling point of why you should pick up the comic.
And I mean, from what you're talking about, I mean, I've said how I'm trying to catch up on Amazing Spider-Man, and they had a storyline for a few issues where the whole superhero community is kind of turning a bit against Peter Parker, well, against Spider-Man, because the Kingpin has become the mayor of New York.
Oh boy.
Okay. And every superhero knows he's corrupt, who he is and everything, but he's become the mayor. So Wilson Fisk has taken a different turn on how to deal with Spider-Man by promoting himself as Spider-Man's pal. You know, I support Spider-Man and all the good work he does. And every superhero in New York is like, what do you mean he's working with the Kingpin to clean up the streets? What do you mean they're friends? You know, so everybody turns their back on Spider-Man, kind of. Well, the Thieves Guild, which I didn't know there was a Thieves Guild in Marvel Comics, goes on a rampage and steals all the stuff from the different superheroes. Like they steal the Fantastic Car from the Fantastic Four. Steal the Eye of Agamotto from Doctor Strange. They steal Captain America's shield and so forth. And they're collecting all this stuff to show that, hey, we are a force to be reckoned with. You know, so Spider-Man and the Black Cat go to try to get their stuff back. And it comes out that during the storyline how the Black Cat was in the guild, but she turned her back on them when she decided to go straight. And, you know, they're not taking that very well. You know, so they're like really angry with her. So, and that's making her realize, yes, I'm making the right decision going on, you know, the path of the side of the angels instead of the dark path. So the solicitation you just read sounds like, you know, she's been rethinking that because of the problems with Thieves Guild. But doesn't sound like she's thinking of who she is in the world, how she wants her pronoun or whatever. I don't know.
I expect it. It's coming. You know, and again, like I said, it seems like they're doing it too often. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know they did that with Harley Quinn and
they did with Poison Ivy. The X-Men.
Who?
Iceman.
Iceman. Well, wasn't Colossus too? Colossus for a while.
No, I don't think he ever was.
I think he was, and I think he turned back. I'm pretty sure
X-Men has gotten so convoluted through the years. The new run is supposed to be a fresh start, and it's already starting to regurgitate.
Oh, I saw the pictures. Didn't they have like an X-Men fashion show or something like that?
Oh yeah, there's some crazy thing going on called the Hellfire Gala. Now that all mutants are united on their own little island and stuff, the Hellfire Club, which used to be, you know, their nemesis, you know, that was the evil team of mutants, along up there with Magneto's Brotherhood. And but now they're all together and they're all having a party on Park Avenue. So I don't know.
We'll get to that. I haven't
gotten to that yet. Like I said, I'm really behind on a lot of my comics and I'm catching up slowly but surely. But the Spider-Man run with Nick Spencer writing is it's pretty good. He's got a good handle on Peter Parker and the stuff Peter Parker deals with life in general. Okay. So
moving on.
Read Spider-Man.
So Marvel apparently is having an issue with Takiki Wakiki, the guy that did Thor Ragnarok and is doing Thor Love and Thunder. Apparently a picture, I don't know if he posted it or if it was leaked, he was hooking up with Rita Ora, who's some singer, and Tessa Thompson, and they were all hooking up at the same time. So they're what you would call a throuple, you know, like where they're in a relationship, but they all love each other. But
you know, I mean, I've said it before, there's so much crap that happens in the world. You shouldn't weasel your way into ruining somebody else's happiness. But I've never heard the term. What did you call them? A trouble?
Throuple.
A trouble?
It's not a couple. It's a throuple.
Never heard that term before, but
it's fairly new because I remember there was some congresswoman, I think, and I forget what she was, but she was involved in one, and the word, somebody in the press called it a throuple. You know?
So what's Marvel's issue? They don't like this?
Well, Disney more like it. They just feel that it's not the exact image that the company is looking to project. And that
well, he's not putting it in his films, is he?
No, I agree with you. You know, I mean, yeah, you made a perfect point. You know, these people love each other. That's fine. You know, it's like, you know,
it's just not for everybody. But you know what? If it works for them, leave them alone and let them have some happiness. That's all.
Yeah, I guess it's just not generally accepted because there's three people. Again, I wouldn't.
Yeah, but if he's not
wouldn't bother me.
If he's not putting it into a movie,
no,
where it's like, well, you know what? Now it's going to be, you know, Thor, Jane Foster, and Valkyrie in a trouble. Like, if he's not putting it out there in their media as a platform, leave him alone. You know, let the guy do whatever he wants. He's not doing anything illegal. They're consulting adults at least, versus some other directors we've known that Marvel has dealt with. So just leave them alone.
Yeah. I mean, but I could see a little bit their point, you know, is that they've been pushing him for a while. You know, he might even do a Star Wars movie. And
I think he'd be great on a Star Wars movie.
No, I do too. But I think that they probably don't have a problem, you know, well, who knows with the whole throuple thing. I don't, but I think that they have a problem that he's posting pictures of it, you know, cause like they were all kissing at the same time, you know, or something like that. Anyway, I don't think it's a big deal, but I can understand Disney again. They're very protective of their brand. They might just say, you know,
which they should be. They should be protective of their brand, but his love life is not their brand. No one looks at this guy and says, that's Disney. No, he might do some work for Disney. He does work on his own with other studios.
Yeah.
He's not affecting the Disney brand. So, like I said, that's none of their business.
But it's also like we've been saying, like, you know, with Gina Carino and others that have gone on Twitter, you know, sometimes you got to watch what you put on Twitter and stuff like that. It could affect your employment, you know? And
yeah, it could. If Disney wants to cut him loose because of this, well, you know what? That's very intolerant, but that is, they can do it. I mean, we work in a hire at will society. You can be let go for any reason whatsoever.
I mean, I'm sure that they won't, but I mean, and other studios don't care. Again, Disney's got this image that they have to be as pure as possible, which sometimes they're hypocritical. But
yeah,
we won't get into that because we've gotten into that before. We'll move on. We'll just go segue into the next one.
Who's on the hit list next?
Spider-Man. So Spider-Man. Well, he might be meeting up with Venom in a movie.
That'd be cool.
The president of Sony Pictures had come out and he said, basically, there is actually a plan. He says, I think now maybe it's getting a little more clear for people we're headed. And I think when No Way Home comes out, even more will be revealed. The great thing is we have the very excellent relationship with Kevin Feige. There's an incredible sandbox there to play with. And we want those MCU movies to be absolutely huge. So I could kind of see him at some point hooking up with Venom, but I am curious about No Way Home because it looks like a lot of stuff's going to happen in there.
That does look weird from what we've heard. Who knows? We can't make any judgments on where they're going yet because they've kept it pretty much under wraps. So we'll see what happens. What I could see is them using No Way Home as a way to fast track the Sinister Six into the Spider-Man mythos, because if Doc Ock is back, you know, who knows, he might be able to pull other people in from, they might not be our universe, but it could be from different realities and he could be gathering them together. So that could fast track it instead of Sony's original plan to introduce each villain, you know, after seeing their showcase under Oscorp. So who knows what could happen? We don't know.
I read like a, I don't know if it's legit, like a legit script of it. And it does kind of sound like Into the Spider-Verse a little bit. Well, even you can kind of tell if he's going to meet Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man in this movie, you know, the universes are going to have to collide at some point. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to try to get whoever back home and stuff like that. Each Spider-Man to its own universe and stuff like that. But there is the possibility that some of the villains that were in other universes may remain in the current Spider-Man universe.
Right. I mean, who knows? Another Mysterio could come through.
Well, like, say, like,
you know, and here comes Doc Ock, and who knows who else could come through.
Yeah, like Alfred Molina has been already, he's set. He will be in the movie, and he'll play Doc Ock, we assume. So he's not too old for Doc Ock.
No, not at all.
Doc Ock is always old, I mean, in the comics.
I mean, heck, he married Aunt May, so.
So
but then again, hot Aunt May, you'd be lucky. So
imagine if he meets Aunt May He's like, this is this world's Aunt May.
in Amazing Spider-Man,
I remember.
Yeah, he once showed up as like renting a spare room at Aunt May's house, where they met, and he's always had a special place in his heart for her.
He's had a thing for her.
Yeah, and at one point something crazy was going on, but he was at the altar with her. So
no, and even after that, I mean, they didn't get married, but if he was fighting and Aunt May was in trouble, like, he'd always try to sacrifice himself to save Aunt May.
Yeah, you know. He's always had a soft spot because she showed him kindness when the world wouldn't. So
he needs new glasses. Aunt May. Hmm? He needs new glasses.
Well, he needs a new haircut too, but you know.
This is another rumor. Apparently, Disney Plus, they might be giving a series to Okio from Black Panther. You know, the one, the Dora Milaje.
Her or the one we saw in Winter Soldier?
No, the one that's
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
In Endgame. Or not Endgame, Infinity War.
She's a cool character, but once again, I don't know. They've got to do something interesting with her. I don't know if what we've seen of her is enough to give her own spinoff. But who knows? Everybody can have an origin story.
Well, this is what annoys
me. We learned from the Bad Bunch this week.
Bad Batch.
Bad Batch, Bad Bunch. You know what I mean.
This is what annoys me. It's kind of like, say, like The Godfather, which was really big. And like they gave a series to the baker that made the wedding cake for the wedding. You know, that's what it kind of feels like, is that they're giving series on Disney Plus to like these minor characters that nobody really cares about. I'm not necessarily that nobody really cares about, but that we really wouldn't pay good money to see them in a movie and stuff like that. And it kind of worries me. I really feel like with the combination of DC and Marvel that they are oversaturating the whole superhero genre, and history might repeat itself and it might collapse, especially if Phase 4 is crap. And DC, again, they don't know what the hell they're doing. You know, like
they really don't.
Like the big thing with Black Superman, and that they're doing another Suicide Squad movie. Why the hell would they do another Suicide Squad movie? I mean, it's coming out, I think, next month or August or whatever, but I just don't get it. There's two Suicide Squad movies, and then there's a Birds of Prey movie, and there's only one Superman movie, you know, or there's no, well, a Batman movie's coming out. I don't know. Ugh.
Well, the thing is, like you're saying, oversaturation, that is a danger. But if they have good stories, they don't have that problem because people watch it for the stories. That you're not going for a superhero movie, you're going to see a spy drama with superheroes in it. You're seeing a heist movie with superheroes in it. You're seeing a war movie with superheroes versus constant superheroes. So they're there, but you have to have a story, a good hook, rather than, oh, it's Spider-Man. Go see the Spider-Man movie. What's it about? Oh, I don't know. It just has Spider-Man in it. We just threw it together. You can't do that. That's when you get into the saturation area and hopefully they don't hit that for a while.
Well, that's again what they're doing also with all these villain movies, like with the Black Cat, Kraven the Hunter, Venom, Morbius.
That, like I said, that is the danger. Sony is in a worse, well.
Yeah, but that affects everybody. It does in a way.
I don't know if it affects everybody. It affects people like what DC is having. I love superheroes, always have. I just can't get excited about a DC movie because of what they've done with it. Marvel, being the Marvel brand, might be okay. However, the Sony Marvel-verse, for lack of a better term, people could just be turned off of that. They're going to be like, yeah, you know what? No, I'll stick with the Disney stuff. I don't need to see the Sony stuff. You know, in the same way, you don't need an origin episode, an origin movie for every character. Sometimes they can just be on their own in a movie with somebody else, somebody bigger.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how Sony's experiment is going to work out, but we'll see.
Yep. I'm going to move on in this story because I know it's going to cause a lot of problems, which actually we'll get into another story, which I know you didn't want me to discuss. Why not discuss it anyway? This happened, I guess, like last month. J. Scott Campbell was, well, actually somebody looked at one of J. Scott Campbell's, one of his most famous covers of Mary Jane, which is an iconic cover. It was Amazing Spider-Man 601. And she is kind of, what would you call it? A little over-sexual or...
She's lounging in that relaxing way that you usually see in, you know...
So somebody had seen...
Photo it. Shoots of a disreputable sort.
So someone had didn't like that they were over-sexualizing Mary Jane, and he fixed it for J. Scott Campbell. And that kind of annoyed a lot of people, especially artists. It's like, well, it's not your job to fix something that somebody has already done, which I agree. It's like, if you don't like the Mona Lisa, what are you going to say? Well, I'm going to make it better. This isn't good. Or like, you know, you find that, you know, that Statue of David by Michelangelo, if that's too offensive, you're going to cover it up.
Well, yeah, you know, and the reason I wasn't too big on talking about this is because this should be a non-point. First off, it's a comic cover from 150 issues ago. Spider-Man's well into like 760 at this point, and you're going to go back and complain about a cover from issue 601. Why didn't you complain about it 10 years ago when it came out?
Well, not that he wasn't born.
What's the point? You know, it's
he's
like...
He's probably a little kid or something like that.
Yeah, you don't like it? Well, sorry, it's come and gone. Get over it. I mean, well, I've seen it, and another podcast I watch, that Star Wars girl, she recreated the pose. And she got it pretty much that she's almost right there to match the pose that Mary Jane is on the cover. And, you know, nothing terrible, but the human body can move pretty close to the way he drew. So it's not like that crazy Spider-Woman cover that they did a couple of years ago where she was like all weird and they'd be like, yeah, her back has to be broken for that. No, this wasn't anything anatomically impossible to do. And she looked good at it too, but it's 160 issues ago. Why are we even bothering? Why did he go back and fix it? He should have said, sorry, you know, that's come and gone. I've got better things to do now. I've got new issues to draw. I've got new covers to draw. I've got new characters to capture, you know.
It's weird that he did go and fix it. I mean, it's better than...
Yeah, I don't know why he even bothered.
It's, again, it's kind of like bowing to those people that feel that everything is offensive. It's kind of like, I think there's three type of people. There are people that find everything offensive. There are people that find nothing offensive. And then there are people...
Who look for something to be offended about?
No, they find that they're okay with anything, but they don't care either way. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you want to get rid of it, fine. If you want to keep it, fine. You know, but just because you don't like something doesn't mean that the whole world has to follow you, or just say like a specific group of people, like they don't like the way Mary Jane is drawn in this comic book.
There's an easy solution. Don't buy that book.
Yeah, exactly. But there are a lot of people that feel that they don't want to see women portrayed in that way, where, you know, she's over-sexualized or whatever, or, you know, why is she in that position?
Once again, 10 years ago, though.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I agree with you, but I'm saying... Yeah.
And we've talked about before, how could you watch Blazing Saddles in this day and age, which is, let's face it, it's funny, but it could never be made now. But how could you look at something from long ago, be offended about it now, and say, oh, well, we've got to change it? No, it's coming. That it's coming gone. You don't like it? Don't watch it. Don't look at it. Don't bother with it. I mean, people talk about that movie still because it was just on TV pretty recently. And it's like, yeah, well, you don't like it. You've got a 200 other channels to flip to.
Well, I think it's ridiculous. Like it was on HBO Max. I don't know if it's on there now, but they had a warning on there. They had to have like a 5-minute talk about why this is offensive and stuff like that. I think you know what you're getting into sometimes too. Like, you know, if you're going to watch Blazing Saddles, you know what it's about.
Right. You're not going in and like, you're not going in to watch that movie blind. You know, you're going, it's a movie that's out there and everybody gets it at one point or another.
Well, it's funny. It's like they did that stuff with Gone with the Wind last year where like they started canceling everything that they thought was racist.
Fix my camera here. I'm like, I'm slowly getting shorter and shorter in the picture. Okay, there we go.
Oh, cool. I like that distance. But I'm saying last year they were canceling a lot of things that they thought were racist and they pulled Gone with the Wind off HBO Max. And I'm like, oh, come on. You know, that's just ridiculous. So then they brought it back, but they had like a 5 to 10 minute prelude basically explaining why this stuff is offensive. And I'm like, I don't need to see this, you know? So idiot that
get
I was,
on with the movie.
I decided it's like, well, I'll buy the digital copy so I won't have to deal with it. So I bought the digital copy and the first thing that you see is like some of these things are offensive. And I'm like, damn it. If I own this, I shouldn't have to read this, you know?
Well, you could fast forward.
That's true. I actually own it on Blu-ray too. I'm just an idiot.
Well, no, I mean, it's, let's face it. It's a classic piece of American cinema. It really is. Some of those movies, those older movies, The Ten Commandments, Cleopatra, those movies are, and The Godfather too, those are classic American movies. And this is not the time for spoiler alerts. You know, you can't have a spoiler alert for a movie that is 40, 50 years old or more. You know, if you're going to watch The Godfather, and you're Italian, you shouldn't be offended by some of the stereotypes they show in that. Same thing. You shouldn't be offended by stereotypes that were in Gone with the Wind because back in that time period, those were the roots of the stereotypes. And that's just the way it is. Move on. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. Change the channel. Put something else on. Don't go back and say, you know what? We have to change this to suit today's issues. No, not really. It's like you can't rewrite history to make yourself feel better. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah, no, it's... And again, some people are not offended by it. I think that there's, again, the people that are screaming the loudest that they are offended by these things are very small. Where the rest of the people out there are like, well, it's not that bad. Like even like in Disneyland, they came out with a new ride or a dark ride that had Snow White in it. And the prince ends up kissing her at the end, you know, to wake her up. And someone complained about that they felt it was offensive because she didn't give consent to the prince and that they wanted that removed. And that was one person and it spread, you know, it's like, oh, come on, you know?
Yeah, that's the problem. We need somebody to stand up for them. Joe, I nominate you.
I thought you were going to say that, Jack. I gladly accept that honor.
But no, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there are just some things just... If you're offended, can't people just leave it alone and you know what? If something offends you, don't watch it. Don't read it. You know, because you know what? It doesn't offend other people. And maybe you're just too damn sensitive. I don't know. Or maybe you're just looking to squawk about something. Like I was saying, you had to go back and look at 160 issues back of Spider-Man to find something to complain about. Mary Jane has always been hot as heck in the comics. That was her role. I mean, ever since she showed up and said, "You hit the jackpot, Tiger," she's always been the hot girl. And, you know, same way Gwen was always the good girl. You know, that was her role. And you know what? Even though she's grown past that as a character, she is still a supermodel in the comics. And let's face it, supermodels don't make their money by dressing homely.
You're right.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, supermodels, you know, aren't photographed wearing a shawl and cup clutching a mug of tea. You know, no, that's what you have Joe Hogarty's Aunt May for. You know, it's just get over it. You know?
All right, well, let's move on. Let's move on to the main topic.
Move on, Joe.
We're moving on to the main topic. So I heard this last week. A couple of people had brought this up on YouTube and in different articles that manga is actually taking over the top list of selling graphic novels that the comic books by American comic books by Marvel and DC. So now they are dominating. They are in the top 20 for, I think, the first quarter of 2021. All 20 comic books are mangas. And I had the list. It's like Demon Slayer, My Hero Academia, Attack on Titan, and stuff like that. And it's kind of weird when you think about it too, that with the MCU, and you see so many DC characters like that, you know, like the DC movies and stuff like that, you would think that more people in this country would be more prone to buy comic books that were about them, those characters, and not Japanese characters that they aren't familiar with. And the problem is like that we've been saying for a while, and even in this podcast, is that the writers, they want to basically write about what they feel is important. And it, most of the podcasts and also the articles that I read, if not all, said that the problem is it's not like that over in Japan. It's like they can do something gory, or they can do something somewhat sexy or something like that, where the American writers, on the other hand, they've been pushing political agenda and social issues like in their comics, and people are getting turned off by them. You know, they just want a good story, you know, a fun adventure, and it seems like they're being preached to.
I could see parts of that. I agree with some of it. I disagree with other parts of it. The angle that anime has always had is, first off, it's drawn beautifully. It is. It has its own unique style as something very different. They're very talented. But like you said, a lot of anime goes way over the boundaries of what American society considers proper for a visual medium like comic books. You have excessive gore. You have pretty excessive nudity and sex as well in a lot of the manga. And the monsters, for example, they're always bigger and scarier, sometimes very disturbing. In manga. And it's not everybody's cup of tea. It isn't mine. And I think that when you're a little bit frustrated with the way comics are nowadays, you're looking for something different. And manga is definitely different from the American comics. So it's not surprising that they are doing well. However, we also go back to the difference between physical books and digital. I don't know. I'd be interested to know how manga does digitally. American comics come out in short segments, 30 pages of story a month for a series of months. The manga, you can buy a book of 150, 200 pages, the same way you would buy a trade paperback by Marvel or DC. The difference is, over here, we don't have access to that monthly 30-page book of a manga story. In most places, we only have access to the trade paperbacks, which is a collection, not the individual issues that we are used to consuming as American comic readers. So I think that's one big angle. However, the American comic industry has its own problems, and we've talked about before, where they're pricing themselves out of the market. They're catering to older readers who really, if you read a comic book, you should be prepared for the comic book material. And some of us enjoy it just for that type of escapism. But when you start to mature the storylines to keep up with the readers you had 20 years ago, you're aging yourself out of content for where we were 20 years ago. So you're not going to get the younger kids, first off, buying a comic book that costs $5.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what kids get for allowance now, but I don't think they're willing to blow.
What do you mean? You should know.
Maybe. Huh?
You should know.
Well, I've gone digital for ages.
No, I'm saying you have a son.
Yeah. Same thing. He reads whatever I get. He's not going to read, buy stuff on his own. But then again, even when he was younger, I'd be like, no, that's dad's book. You want to read something here, read this. And I would give him stuff that I felt was appropriate, because even in Marvel, it was a little too intense for a younger kid. And as I said before, every kid should be able to buy a Batman comic book or a Superman comic book without being bombarded with graphic violence. That would be disturbing little kids.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, I used to get an allowance, and I think I got like $5, you know.
That $5 would buy you 7 or 8 books.
Well, when I first got into comics, like in the 70s, I would say I got a little screwed, because like for maybe about a month, it was 20 cents, you know,
right,
for comic. And then it went to 25 cents.
It went to 35, then it went to 50.
Well, it was 25. It was 25 cents for a while, and it was 35 cents for a while. But to go to $5, and you know, and again, I don't know what you're giving your kids for an allowance. I would assume, let's say you're generous, you give your kid $20 as an allowance. That's still $5 of comics. That's 4 comics, you know, and that's overpriced. I mean, you don't feel bad about spending $1, you know, for a comic or something like that. That's a fair price. $1, maybe $1.50, $2. But when you get to the $5 range, and it's even more expensive. I've gone into some comic book stores where it's like $7, you know, for a comic.
Oh yeah, depending on the issue. I mean, it's gotten crazy, and it's kept up with our life cycles, but it hasn't done anything to bring new readers in. And, you know, even though they do produce kid-friendly books, like I think they call it like Marvel Action now, that there's Marvel Action Spider-Man, Marvel Action Avengers, that are geared towards younger readers, they're still $5.
See, I think what Disney does and what's wrong is they don't care about the comic books. They only care that they own the characters so that they could put them in the movies, and they know that they're going to make a ton of monies off of those characters, right, some that they haven't even used yet. So they don't care if they overprice the comic books, you know, which would be nice if, like, they said, you know what, we want more kids to have access to these comic books, so let's lower the price to $1. You know, we'll just...
Well, it's not just lowering the price. It's also the materials. They went from newspaper stock to magazine stock. They went from the 16 color palette to the 256. Now it's with digital. Let's face it, the comics look leaps and bounds ahead of the 90s or the 2000s now. And that has raised the price. We're getting nicer looking comics, but with that has come the $5 price tag and catering to an audience that ages out. Honestly, I'm too old to be reading these funny books, but it's escapism. It helps me relax. So I read and see what Spider-Man's doing this week or the FF. However, you know, getting a kid to spend that kind of money with these kind of subjects, it's just a hard pitch, both from a financial and also as a parent. There's a lot of books out there I wouldn't want Patrick reading at 16. You know, none of them are Marvel books, but now that DC has started its Black Label, the Black Label line, I mean, some of that stuff is like, oh my gosh, like, really? And that's, once again, catering to older readers.
Does it have a rating on it?
Yeah, that's what the Black Label, it's noted for the Black Label, you know. It's just, it's too much. And once again, I would love to see them, instead of investing the time to make things like the Black Label books or the M labels when Marvel was doing, I think it was Marvel Knights, produce more kid-friendly books at a kid-friendly price to get them into the hobby, get them reading. I've told the story before that when I first started reading comic books, you know, my dad was concerned, you know, like, well, he's reading all these things and they're all nonsense. And it was my teacher who said to my dad, it's like, just be glad he's reading. It doesn't matter what he reads. The fact that he's reading is good. And that's going to give him a love of reading that will keep for his whole life. And it has, you know, I do read other things in comics, but it's developing that love of reading because you have subject matter that you like and attracts you. And kids do not have access to that like they should, because it's priced out and the material isn't there. So rather than doing Black Label, I'd love to see them do more kid-friendly stuff and get it out there. I mean, you have iconic superheroes. Make a non-dark Batman book. You know, make a...
Well, they did do that, though. Didn't like they do like Batman, the animated series?
Which is a great little book. It is, but it's the only book. You know, I mean, make Superman the animated series. Or, you know what? Maybe have somebody get somebody who's going to draw it a little better than the Bruce Timm style.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, when I used to go to comic book stores, I would see, you know, the Batman the animated series, and I'm like, I don't want that. Look at that.
Right.
But I was an adult, too. It's like, why would I want that, you know?
Right.
I want something that's serious.
Right. But they can get somebody, put somebody who's a good artist on it. And instead of having it inked in full digital spectrum, go back to a 16 color palette or even a 256 palette, you know, that it's looks sort of like the comic books from the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s. Which will drop the price and put it, once you start using that less specific color palette, you can go to the newspaper stock again, you know, because let's face it. I mean, people don't collect the new stuff anyway. the serious collectors, they're all going back further and further. And the books they're buying and the books that are worth anything are the old newspaper stock ones.
Yeah, the golden age one.
That's the golden and silver and even the Bronze Age. But once you get to the books with this magazine stock and the digital, I mean, I don't know if you remember, for a long time on Tuesdays when you read your comics, you had that newspaper schmutz on your hands because the ink they used to print on the magazine paper wasn't strong enough to dry quickly, that your comics would sometimes still be a little wet from the printing ink. So I think that's part of it. And like I said, for trade paperbacks, it makes sense that they'd be manga because you're getting your story collection, because we don't have access to those smaller installments every month like we do with the American comics. Food for thought. The more you know. Get me a rainbow graphic with a star.
Yeah, it's funny though, because like recently, do you know who Jerry Conway is?
Mm-hmm.
So he co-created Power Girl and The Punisher. Probably other ones too. But he recently went off against manga, you know, saying that American comic book artists are taken deservedly to task regularly for outrageous sexual treatment of women. He says, but rarely any commentary of the rampant sexism and misogyny is thrown towards manga. And so a lot of manga fans went out to his Twitter, you know, and said, well, look, you know, it's more than just that, you know, why we like manga and all that stuff. It's because we like the stories. We like, you know, the art. They do kind of like go on the violent side with mangas a little bit more. So he came back and he says, given the number of angry replies from manga fans to my post suggesting some manga art is, what is this word? I probably sound like an idiot. Pederastic and misogynistic. I can only assume there are a lot of incels who blank off to drawings of oversexed preteen girls. So it's basically...
Wow, he really went for broke.
He did. I mean, that's the whole thing, is that a lot of the comic book writers and artists are turning against the fans. They're like, this is the way we're doing comic books now. And that they're blaming the fans for why the comic books aren't selling. It's because you aren't buying them. I mean, that's what makes me sick, is that they're saying that it's your fault. It's not our fault. But the problem I see, it's kind of like, you know, say like you open up like a pizza store or something like that, and you hire a chef or a pizza maker, and he'll only make pizza with like sardines and sauerkraut on it. And he feels that that's the best pizza ever. And nobody's buying it. And you tell him, it's like, well, you have to make this. And he's like, nope, I only make that, or I'm not making it at all. And he goes, well, everybody else is like, they like pepperoni, they like cheese, they like anchovy and stuff like that. Nope, this is it. And that's what the writers are kind of like. It's like, well, this is the message that we want to push. And if you don't like it and the readers don't like it, you know, we don't need their business. But you
there's a two-word answer for that.
What's that?
You're fired.
But they're all together.
You're still work for hire. There are so many artists who would, and people who dream about being comic book writers that would jump at the chance.
That's true. But and also,
there's plenty of younger talent looking also to make their way up. So if you said to some young comic artist and said, "Yeah, you know what? Jim Lee quit Justice League. Would you like to do it?" They would jump at the chance. They'd be like, I will draw whatever you want to be able to work on Justice League.
But the problem is that there's so many of them who think like him. So it's like, say Jim Lee leaves and they hire you to do Justice League. They're like, what story are you going to do? And then you tell them, it's like, well, I got a story where Superman, there's a threat to the Earth, and he needs Batman and Wonder Woman to help him stop this Earth. And it's like, yeah, and what else are you going to say about it? You know, you know, if you don't push what they want you to push, they're not going to invite you to lunch. They're not going to come to your birthday party.
You know what? I'm a work for hire. I may be a creative, but I'm still work for hire. And if, say, for example, in your thing, I'm going to write a story. Some crazy menace is coming to Earth and Superman needs help. And I want to use Batman and Wonder Woman for the Trinity of DC. And they say, no, Shazam is getting a movie and Aquaman is getting a sequel. I want you to use them.
Well, who's that? The owners or the writers?
The editors, the publishers. If they say, you know,
well, yeah, what? No, I agree with you.
We want that. Them. So, you know what? I'm going to change it that Superman's going to call Shazam and Aquaman to help him in space, you know, because it's your company. I'm working for you. So, you know what? That's what you want. I'll change my plans to get you what you want.
Yeah. I mean, and I agree.
That's how it should work in the world.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's how you keep your job. But I'm just saying that it's so overloaded with people that feel the importance to push political and social issues into their comic books.
Well, that's when editors have to say, no, I get that you want your message, but you know what? That's not the company line. And you don't like it? Well,
guess what? They haven't done that for years.
I know they haven't done that. And that's what causes the trouble. If they start doing that, where it's like, you know what? No, sorry, we don't go for this. You can't turn the Black Cat gay. You know, sorry, we've had her established. We like using her in different things. That doesn't fit in with our direction for her as a character. We have a movie coming up. No.
You know, it's kind of funny.
Oh, you don't like it? You don't like it? Okay, well, you know what? We're going to have somebody else assigned to the book who will follow the rules, the character Bible.
So Marvel, both Marvel and DC are seeing how popular manga is, that they're actually basically creating mangas themselves, I guess, over in Japan, using their characters. Like they have one Wonder Woman. They have for Deadpool.
You like that. They did a...
Well, I know like they did
Wolverine
Star Wars
manga or something. They did like an Iron Man that was very close to manga.
Well, no. That was an animated series. That was an anime series. No, mangas,
I thought they had a book too with it.
I don't think they did. Oh. Well, you know, they had the Wolverine with you know, when he goes to Japan, you know, when he, Frank Miller, that series that he had, that wasn't manga though. That was just.
No, but I mean, I thought they did around the time they made the manga series. They also made it.
I don't think they did. I could be wrong.
Manga comic, but okay.
I mean, I know Wolverine's very popular in Japan, but I remember a Star Wars manga, which I never picked up, but I love the artwork on it. Cause you know, like
I have those.
I have those.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah. That looks pretty cool.
For Princess Leia has eyes like this big.
Yeah, like big eyes. Yeah.
Except when she's mad, they go like really small. You know.
And again, it's something like you said, you either love or you hate it. You know, right. like I was watching, because Demon Slayer is like the big thing, and like they have it on Netflix now. And it's creepy as all hell. You know, like I watched the first 3 or 4 episodes and I'm like, I don't know if I want to continue with this, because it's about this boy. He's got this family and he kind of leaves them to go to town, and when he comes back there's blood all over the house, and you know, like his 3-year-old sister is dead and covered in blood, and they have an infant, and that thing is just all over the place, and the only one that's alive is his sister, who's like about maybe 10 or 12 years old. But now she's a demon, you know, and she's kind of like a vampire, you know. She basically has got fangs, you know. She can't be around during the day, you know, sunlight will kill her and stuff like that. But there's some connection, and he basically carries around in a basket so that she's protected from the sun, and he's trying to find a way to cure her from being a demon. So I think that that's basically the whole story. But again, it's
that itself sounds like a good story. It's the delivery method of blood and babies.
Oh yeah. And you don't want to see such, that, you know,
it's exactly like, that's the bit that you've taken it and you've gone that little bit dial to 11.
Yeah. Like I like anime. There's some anime that I really enjoy. Like I love Appleseed. That's like one of my favorites. And I like Ninja Scroll too. But like the one that's really popular that this reminds me of is Attack on Titan. Did you ever see that?
I haven't. I've heard about it. I've never caught it though.
That's so violent and gross, you know. And I watched like I think two seasons of it. But it's basically like these giants that are around there and they're eating people and they're biting their heads off, you know, drinking their blood and all that stuff. And again, like the American public was drawn to it. They really liked it because like the Japanese really loved it and everything, but it was just too over the top gory for me. And it was nightmarish because like even the giants, they were like, you know, like how you would see in science, like the human body and it would be like see-through. You could see all the organs. That's what the giants were like, you know, like they looked like that.
Okay.
Yeah. It just give you nightmares. Anyway, so I guess the bottom line is we kind of hope that both Marvel and DC kind of wake up to the fact that people are just looking for good stories. You know, they're not looking to be preached at. We want lower prices in comics. And like what Jack has been saying for a long time, specifically digital. I mean, why should we be paying more or the same amount for digital as we pay for an actual comic book? Makes no sense.
I mean, that's, like I said, that boggles my mind. And every time there's a price increase, there's fewer books I pick up.
And the answer for that is greed, you know, because they know you're going to buy. Because, you know, it's like, I don't want to buy the comic book because it might rip. And it's just a lot easier just to have it digitally. And they're like, oh, that's great. Well, we have this on digital. But guess what? We're not going to make it any cheaper for you. You can go and buy that comic book if you want. You know,
I mean, the thing is, it's like, you know what? I've got my iPad. I've got like 200 comics on here, depending what I feel like reading or what I have to catch up on. But you just can't physically carry that many books around. So to keep up with it, you know, I go out to lunch and it's like, okay, let me just flip through a couple of an issue or two of whatever. I mean, you have that convenience. When I was commuting back and forth to New York, I was on a train for 2 hours each way. And thank God for things like the iPad, because otherwise I would have gone nuts. Just sitting on the train, looking out the window.
Amazon Prime has got like, I know I never picked up, I might've had Comixology for a month. But if you have Amazon Prime, you have access to some comic books from their library. And I kind of downloaded, you can download 10 at a time. And one that I downloaded was The Dark Knight Strikes Again. Oh my God, that thing is ugly.
I don't know what happened there. I mean, once I saw the first issue, I didn't bother.
Me too. I was so excited that there was a sequel.
You know, The Dark Knight Returns has had a very particular style and it worked. The Dark Knight Strikes Again, was that what the title?
Yeah.
It got sloppier. I mean, it was a mess.
Again, it had like The Dark Knight Returns. It wasn't the greatest artwork. Was it Klaus Janson or something like that? And Frank Miller? Frank Miller might have drawn some of it too. I don't know.
I don't remember.
But anyway,
I've said before, it's also not my favorite story, but I have read it. So,
but it's not the best artwork, but it's also, but it was different. You know, it was interesting. It was fit the theme of the story. It was dark, you know. This thing just like, what the hell is it? It's just like they hired the worst artist imaginable. I think that they tried to mimic what was in The Dark Knight Returns, but for some reason it came out worse. And they didn't care about backgrounds or anything like that. The Dark Knight doesn't show up until maybe the third or fourth book. It's mostly like Superman and Wonder Woman.
But it also goes down. It was written by Frank Miller. Yeah. So, but it goes back to, like I've said before as well, comics is not only concerned about story, it has to be art. And either one, you can have a great art like Todd McFarlane's Spider-Man, you know, series, not the Amazing Spider-Man, because that was somebody else writing it. But when he was writing it, it looked fantastic, but the stories were just terrible. And that's a case where the art looked great, but the story was not good. And you have other issues where there were a couple of Silver Surfer books, and I love the Silver Surfer. And the story was supposed to be out of this world, but when you opened up, the art was just god awful. And you're like, no, this is not worth the $5, you know, for my comic book dollar. So it has to balance each way. You can't just have a great story and terrible art like The Dark Knight Strikes Again. And you just can't have great art without a good story. Like you were saying here on the Demon Hunter thing, that story sounds interesting, but the style of blood and guts and dismembered people everywhere, that's what would just put me off of it.
Yeah. Did you ever see the Last Airbender?
You recommended that. After Invincible, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll listen to Joe and check that one out.
That's a good story. I think your son would like that too. Avatar, The Last Airbender. And then they had The Legend of Korra. And they're both, I think they were made here, but they look like anime. I love both series. I thought they were really good.
Yeah, I'll have to check them out.
Anywho, all right, let's get into the Bad Batch. And we are up to episode number 5, and it's called Rampage. Right. So what do you think?
I'm kind of torn about it, because while I thought there was a lot of fun stuff in the episode, and Rhea Perlman as the bar owner, as Sid.
Was she really? I didn't realize.
Yeah, that was Rhea Perlman. Like, we're watching it, and Lynette was like, I think that's Rhea Perlman. I'm like, I'm listening, and I'm like, it sounds, yeah, it could be. And so she's Googles it, and yep, it was Rhea Perlman.
Oh, wow, that's cool. I got to check that out again.
Once again, they're getting talent on these things. I thought a lot of it was good. It was a groaner, though, when Moochie turned out to be Jabba's rival.
Oh, yeah, that pissed me off.
And that goes back to what I said in the beginning of this podcast of not everyone needs an origin story. The Rancor from Return of the Jedi did not need an origin story where he was kidnapped and rescued by the Bad Batch.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
You know, you don't need that. The one thing I did find funny was Bib Fortuna like, oh, hello, how are you doing? You know, like a Rancor is being treated like a little puppy. When it grew up to be such a horrible monster eating people. But the rest of it, I actually like the part where Wrecker had to show he was an alpha over the Rancor.
Yeah, I like that too.
I thought that was cool. Like, yeah, they're going at it, you know. And at the end of it, he's just, you know, both of them are exhausted. But Wrecker is just like, I'm gonna assert myself, but I don't want to hurt him, you know. And I liked that combination where, you know, I know you don't like Wrecker, but Wrecker knew he was dealing with a kid, and he kind of took it easy on him.
He's growing on me a little bit.
Yeah, Wrecker's doing good. So there was a lot of it I liked. Still waiting to see what the reveal of Omega is, you know, like she was able to pick out, oh, you're Sid, or, you know, just, you're right. She seems to be connecting things a little too easily. I wonder if it's going to come out that she's an empathic or,
I just hope she's not force sensitive. I hate that word.
No. Exactly, but I'm just saying empathic, maybe that's her ability, which is why she's kind of sensing things, maybe not force wise like the Jedi, but maybe she has, you know, that little hunch that lets her get out of trouble or figure things out. So we'll see, but it was a good episode. But like I said, the fact that Moochie was the Rancor from Jabba's pit, that was
beyond annoying.
For me, that was a groaner.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was pissed off. So it's like now every time I watch Return of the Jedi and I see him, I'm going to say Moochie when I see him. Because yeah. You know that's going to happen mentally.
What I did like, though, is I liked the cat aliens. The aliens that had kidnapped Moochie.
They had a very
kind of look.
Yeah, I like the look, yeah.
And there have been, like, feline aliens in Star Wars, like, going way back into the days of Brian Daley and his Han Solo series, that there were cat aliens. But we haven't really seen them in the movies or other books too often. So I kind of liked it, and I liked how they had their own kind of specialized weapon with the force bow and the laser whip. I thought that was cool that those aliens had their own little thing. Instead of a blaster, they had the bow and, you know, could turn on the lightning whip and stuff. I thought that was kind of cool. So I like the look of them. I hope we see them again. But,
my big problem, like, which I noticed, like, in the last few episodes, is Omega. I mean, I still like the character, but she is a Mary Sue. It's like, it's almost like she's there every time just to rescue them. I mean, every now, or she has to be rescued by them. Is that what this series is just going to be? Just a constant back and forth of who rescues who? And she's too perfect, like, when she has to do something.
But what was missing in this were the foreshadow elements. Like, we'd seen other stuff going on in the background about how the Empire is taking over, converting everything from the Republic to the Empire. We didn't have that much in this one.
No, this was definitely filler.
Yeah, this wasn't the best episode. I can't say it was horrible, but it did have a major groaner in it.
No, this was, again, it's kind of like that crap that they did with the Rise of Skywalker when they brought in, like, all those old ships and some of the characters and stuff. And like, they tried to say, oh, you know, remember this character? Well, there it is, you know?
Well, and that was fun, though. At the end, in the big space battle that they brought different ships in.
I liked Wedge, but that armada was a little too much.
Well, it was cool to see the ghost flying around.
I didn't even see that, you know.
It was right next to the Falcon.
And I'm not going to look for it.
Yeah, I know. You don't want to watch that movie again. But, I mean, I like the fact that they brought everybody back for one last shout out. But like I said, this was a bit different, that not everybody needs an origin story.
So are you supposed to dislike Luke now that he killed Moochie?
Not even close. The rancor of that, it needed to be put down. Sorry.
Well, I think some people
might. I don't feel sympathy. Seeing this episode, I don't feel sympathy for Moochie when he gets older and he's eating dancing girls and Gamorreans are just doing their job.
Well, they probably starved him. You know, he's a lot skinnier when you look at Rancor in Return of the Jedi. He's kind of like almost like skin and bones, and the baby Rancor is kind of like chubby. So they must have.
I thought there was something like a pit bull look to him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you see the pictures of pit bulls when they're smiling and they're just like big mouth with the jowls and everything and the big nose. You know, they look cute. Like,
yeah, they look cute. I could see them selling those characters in Galaxy's Edge and stuff like that. But again, with this series, though, even though, I mean, I'm not crazy about all the episodes, it still feels more like Star Wars than Rebels or even Clone Wars to me for some reason.
Well, Clone Wars, I just couldn't get into. And like I said, we've talked about this. Taylor used to love it. I just had a hard time rooting for Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah,
knowing what he grows up into. That was the thing I could never really get past with the Clone Wars. Rebels I loved. I thought Rebels was terrific.
I liked the first season of Rebels, but what always annoyed me is once they joined, was it the Alliance?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess it was the Alliance. It just took something away from it. I liked it when they were a smaller, tighter group. And that's why I think I might like the Bad Batch, is because they are a small, tighter group. They really aren't associated with anybody. Like, they're not associated with the Alliance or anything yet.
And I hope for me, I liked Rebels better when they did join up with the Alliance. So
I didn't, you know, and what's his name? Who was the big baddie in the last season?
Thrawn.
Admiral. Yeah, Thrawn. Didn't do anything for me. You know, it's like those last couple of seasons I really didn't like. But you do wonder if we're going to see Kanan again. You know, like the young Kanan.
Maybe he'll turn up.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, he showed up in the beginning. But, all right, let's wrap this one up. So, Jack, can you tell us where, or tell people where they can find you?
You can always send me email at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. Also, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit WDWNT's Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. And check out Walt Disney World News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney and Universal news. And please visit the Carousel of Products, where there is a ton of fun WDWNT merchandise on sale. And finally, please subscribe to the WDW Entertainment channel on YouTube, where you can find Nerd Alert and other WDWNT original programming available there. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 7, Episode 19. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all, and be good to each other.